Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. Happy Tuesday, and thank you for listening. We're here today with Diane from Natural Nutmeg Magazine. We're so excited, and she's the founder of Dr. Diane Speaks. She's a writer, a speaker, does a lot of workshops. She's got 20 years of experience with, gosh, just about everything to help people be their best, right? Hi, Diane. How are you?
Thanks very much. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Just to do a little bit of housekeeping here before we get going, I just want to let everybody know that the show today is sponsored by Delamore in Vermont. So if you all visit Delamore.com, that's Dellamore.com. They are just great friends of Best Ever Use, and they're just a wonderful company that makes the best pasta sauce ever, I swear. And Diane, you'd probably love it because it's like clean of, you know, it's like, I don't know, how, I'd have to put the phone down and go grab a jar out of my pantry to tell you the ingredients.
Right.
I should probably have a jar sitting here as I'm on the radio. But it has like maybe, I mean, all the ingredients are natural. There's no gluten in it. There's no sugar in it. You know, it's just like tomatoes and here's your pasta sauce kind of stuff.
Right.
You know,
it probably has like 3 ingredients.
Yeah. Oh, so, well, it's wonderful for me with having food allergies. It's just something I can eat and count on and just love it. And it's just good, clean food. So Delamore pasta sauce, we thank you very much. And we're actually going to be holding some giveaways on their Facebook page. So kind of fun for people who want to post recipes and things like that. So we'll be announcing that in February as we go. But we love Delamore. And you want to hear one more thing about them, Diane?
Sure.
There's a cute story. When we moved here in 2004 from California to Maine, I was really tired one day. And I was like, oh, you know, everybody wants pasta. And I don't really want to sit here and make homemade pasta sauce. So I went to the grocery store, true story, and I grabbed a jar of Delamore pasta sauce. I had no idea what it was. It was a new brand to me, but I thought I would try it. And I came home and served it to my family and my husband. They all thought I made it from scratch because I threw the jars out.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect. And my husband's like, this is the best pasta sauce you've ever made. I'm like, well, good. It's from this jar. And we've been friends with Delamore ever since because I contacted them and told them what my husband said and everything. So that's the story of Delamore. And here we are many years later, still being buds with them. So that's all I got.
When you find a good product, you stick with it for sure.
Oh, yeah, we do. Our pantry's filled with it. So you were just in Florida. How much fun was that? We were talking about that.
Yeah, I don't want to rub it into too many people that are listening and freezing to death right now.
Yeah, Maine is
warm. I'm back in Connecticut, and I'm freezing too. So it was beautiful.
Yeah, and you were in Naples, and then, how fun. Was that business or just for fun?
Actually, just for fun this time. Usually I'm traveling. We do a lot of eco travel articles on different hotels and properties that are doing eco-friendly practices, but this time it was just vacation.
That's good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm getting to the point. My husband and I were chatting this morning. We're like, I think we should go on vacation, but it's kind of too short notice to go in February, so I think we're probably going to go maybe in April somewhere. And maybe for February we'll go to New York or something just for a few days or do something like that. But anyway, all right, well, on to the show. We're going to talk about drama. Do you want me to go through all your let me do this first. Let me go through all your certifications so people know. You have a BS in marketing from the University of Connecticut, a PhD in exercise physiology from the University of Maryland, and you're a certified empowerment life coach. And what I love is every time I talk with you, you just have this amazing way of making sometimes complicated concepts seem easier, but also you help people really implement them in their real life. Yeah, you do. You just got a real knack for saying, well, why don't you try this instead? And it usually works.
Yeah.
Cute.
Well, thank you. I love that description. But, yeah, I've definitely had people say to me that I provide them with alternative pathways of thinking.
Yeah, that's a really great way to describe it. Well, let's tell our audience. We've had you on the show a few times now, but let's tell our audience what Natural Nutmeg Magazine is and how you came to own it and publish it and you know, how you started it and all that. Just give us a quick rundown on Natural Nutmeg Magazine.
Sure. Well, it's a local to Connecticut magazine. We focus on everything from natural health, natural medicine, holistic living, green living, spirituality. Pretty much, you know, runs the gamut of ways to live, you know, more healthy and more naturally. And my partner and I started the magazine almost 6 years ago, and we saw a niche here in Connecticut between alternative healthcare providers and people who were in, you know, this more businesses and practitioners that were in the holistic living industry, and the readers or the, you know, people who wanted to reach them or patronize them. We really saw a need to connect those two people because there really wasn't anywhere for them to find each other. So we started this free publication, solely supported by advertising, and the really unique thing about it is that all of the content, the articles are all written by local practitioners and business owners. All of the advertising and the events and press releases and all that is all local. So if you're in Connecticut and you're reading the magazine, you can actually go to that practitioner versus, you know, when you read something that's in a nationally based magazine, half the time you can't even connect with that person, let alone go to see them.
Right.
So it's been hugely successful. I mean, in 5 years, you know, we've gone from, you know, just servicing Hartford County to now we distribute throughout the entire state, and we even reach over into Massachusetts and a little bit into Rhode Island and New York. And we're actually launching a new magazine in Boston this spring. So same concept. It'll be called Natural Boston, and it'll be local to that area.
That's so great. Congratulations on all of your success. It's a lot of hard work, I'm sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's been great, though. I mean, we've met some amazing people. I mean, I've met more people in the last 5 years by doing this than I've met probably my whole life.
Isn't that incredible? That's how you and I met, really. We were down in Connecticut on a job interview, and I was with my husband was actually at the interview, and I was tootling around the grocery store with my kids, getting stuff to take back to the hotel room, and I found your magazine, and I couldn't wait the whole way driving back from Connecticut to Maine to call you. I remember that phone call. I'm like, this is going to be a really strange phone call. Hi. That's funny.
So you'd be surprised. I mean, I have people that call me from other states that have seen it, whether they were traveling here or they have a friend or a relative that lives here that has sent them the magazine, and they've called to ask, you know, like, oh, do you have any plans to come to another location? Because we need this.
Yeah.
So,
well, I love that you're accessible. I love that you're real. And I just love the fact that you're open to different ideas and new opportunities, because we've done some really cool things together. You've put some of my articles or my writers and things like that from Best Ever You in your magazine. You've come on my radio show. I mean, that's really neat when people can collaborate and do things and find ways to grow each other's businesses and dreams and goals and just be buddies.
Right, exactly. Well, that was my whole purpose with the magazine, too, is to really help these practitioners to, for some of them, get their business off the ground, and for others, you know, to expand into different areas and things that they want to do.
Yeah, it's just kind of fun. We've had a lot of fun with it. How long have we known each other now? About a year?
Oh, at least,
about a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least, maybe even a little bit more than that now. Yeah, it actually is, because we were there in the summer. That's funny.
Yep.
We're going over a year. That's cool. All right. Well, happy anniversary.
Oh, thanks. <Just
kidding. laughs> Yeah. All right. So you can see Natural Nutmeg Magazine at naturalnutmeg.com. And then you've got another website, Dr. Diane Speaks. And what's the Dr. Diane Speaks one website?
Well, before I started the magazine, I was doing a lot of workshops on personal development and speaking. I did a lot of work with a couple of different direct sales companies, My background being in marketing and health, it really allowed me to, you know, come from both of those different aspects, I guess, and really teach people not only how to, you know, improve their lives on a personal level, but also on a professional level. So, you know, I basically created that website as a means for people to get information on, you know, everything from if they were building their own business, entrepreneurial skills, to spiritual and personal development skills, and kind of, you know, everything in between.
Yeah. No, it's great. I mean, I can see that part of you too. It's you're just kind of a great supporter of you know, other people. But I'm wondering, in all that support for all the other people that you have, and really inspiring other people to really be their best and help shape their lives and everything, how do you maintain your sense of you? What do you do to take care of you?
Well, I just went to Florida.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm like, oh, yeah, the Florida thing's coming back at me.
it is difficult because, you know, I really find myself pulled in a lot of different directions sometimes because I have the magazine. I try to, you know, still maintain writing and doing some local speaking events and things like that. But, you know, I don't lose sight of the fact that you also have to take care of yourself as well. And that's been, you know, I see a lot of people that basically work themselves to death to get somewhere and then find out that that's not even where they really wanted to go in the first place. So, you know, I do a lot. I try to take a lot of personal time to myself, whether it might be a vacation or it might just be, you know, like some doing stuff on the week, trying not to work on the weekends, going out with friends, doing some kind of pampering stuff. I mean, I try to get a massage every 2 weeks, and I work out a lot. A lot of my time spent, you know, running or whatnot is sort of my quiet time to really just de-stress, and also it's creative time for me too. But many people might be like, what, is she crazy? I hate exercise. How could you be, you know, like thinking about creative things? But for me, it's sort of been like a therapy. I run and my mind just clears, and it all, and I just get sort of like intuitive hits during that time. But it's easy to get caught up in working all the time when you work for yourself, for sure.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, my husband and I, several months ago now, joined a gym. And we have been going for 1 hour every day, sometimes not on Sundays, but we've been going for 1 hour every day, and it's just completely changed our lives.
Yeah, completely. That's great.
Oh, it's just wonderful. We're actually both getting really strong and muscle definition and things we haven't seen in years of having four kids.
Good. So you're actually lifting weights because that's one of the best-kept secrets out there. Terms of exercise, everybody thinks that all you have to do is go out and do cardiovascular exercise. And
no.
Yeah, weightlifting, strength training for women is just so important. And also, I think the misconception is that you're gonna bulk up and get huge and look like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger in about a couple of months, which would never happen.
No, it's funny. Well, I always think that too. You know, let's talk about exercise a little bit because this is really a specialty of yours, and then we'll kind of go into our drama call that we were going to have. But you know, I love the fact that, you know, we can ask you exercise questions, especially from a girl standpoint. You know, and because that is really one thing I did think about, and as a former gymnast. And you know, your body changes after you have four kids. And I'm like, okay, what do I do now? And I kind of remember being a little, I've always been a little bit bulkier. You know, I'm not a real skinny, you know, I always think I'm a little bit more thick than I am thin. And so I do get nervous to lift weights. And I do think, oh gosh, here come the biceps and everything. And so this time around, I just quieted my head down and I said, you know what? If this freaks you out that much, let's just start with tiny weights. How much could tiny weights do? Let's take the little 3-pounders over there and just lift those for a while. And it actually, I've been doing a ton of reps with 3 pounds and then just moved up to 5 pounds. And it's completely changed my arms. I've lost inches, I'm not walking around flexing like my oldest son is.
Well, that's fun too sometimes, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. But do you, I mean, is there a trick? Is there seriously a trick with lifting weights? I was getting to my question for women, so that your arms, that back jiggle goes away, but you don't end up, you know, feeling the need to flex like Popeye.
Right. Well, I think what I'd like people to understand is the physiology behind it. So when you have more muscle mass, you're going to burn more fat overall in a resting state. So what most people are concerned about, and even I even hear, you know, personal trainers talk this way and doctors, everybody thinks it's all about what you do, how much, you know, how many calories you burn and what you do during the half hour or hour of exercise that you're doing. And in reality, what's important is what happens the 24 or the 23 hours between your exercise session. Because when you think about it, how much can you really do in an hour? I mean, how many calories can you really burn? Whereas if you're focusing more on what's happening with your body during the off time, the more muscle mass that you have, the more calories you're going to burn, even if you're just sitting in a chair. So that's why I've always been a huge promoter of strength training, because if you can increase your muscle size, you're going to burn more fat, you know, doing nothing, just sitting there or walking around. And people don't understand that. But, you know, back to your question about is there a trick? Well, I guess the trick is to be focusing more on strength training. I mean, you see people in the gym, women and men. They're on the cardiovascular machines for 45 minutes or an hour every day, and they look exactly the same today as they look a year from now or a year ago, right?
You know where I see that the most? Seriously, I've been just kind of observing. I'm more of an observation person. I just kind of take note and look around and look at people day in and day out. It's the same people in there pretty much at the same time that we're in there every day. And you're so right, and they're mostly older, and they are making zero progress. And I'm glad. I don't mean that they're not heart healthy or doing something and moving in the right direction and things like that, but there's no, it doesn't feel like the muscles are toning.
No, and you won't with cardiovascular exercise, because like you said, yes, it's training your cardiovascular system.
Which
so
is great. I mean,
not,
that's a great
not
plus,
to say
too.
That's not good. Right, exactly. You really need to do both.
Yeah.
But if you want to change the way your body looks, you absolutely have to be doing strength training. Because
yeah,
you can lose all the weight that you want, and you'll just be a skinny fat person. That's what I call it.
Yeah, no, I know you've said this to me before. Explain skinny fat person, because a lot of people, there's just a huge misconception, because like you can get on the scale and your fat percentage, you know, you can be. I do this with my kids sometimes. You know, we've got a scale and it measures your weight and your fat percentage and your water percentage. It's kind of a cool scale. And the boys, you know, I live in a house with five boys, and they're all like, yeah, I gained weight. I'm like, oh, God, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no, you know, it's boy house. But it's a very interesting scale, because, you know, you can weigh 140 pounds and have 43% fat and be in the trouble zone.
Yep, exactly, exactly. So that's the whole point. I mean, if you have very little muscle mass, you're not going to look defined, even if you are thin, so to speak.
Yeah. And
so,
tell us some other benefits of actual weightlifting, because I would love to hear that, and I'd also love to hear maybe some specific things women can do. People are always worried about their arms and thighs, and I was going to pick on our arms today. You know, specific, like, 8 reps of that weight at, you know, 5 times or something like that. But first, tell us what does muscle do for women as we age?
Okay. So, like I said, the number one thing is the fact that more muscle will burn more calories and more fat, you know, just doing nothing during the day while you're not exercising.
Right.
The other thing I would think is weight-bearing exercise like that is definitely going to keep your bones stronger and healthier, and that's a huge thing. Is both women and men get older is the decrease in bone density. So you're at less risk. You know, so we don't really have to worry about that, but as you get into your 60s and 70s, you need to start worrying. If you fall, I mean, it's so easy. People become so frail, they break a bone like nothing. And that's because they're not doing any weight-bearing exercise. They're not doing anything to keep those bones strong.
Right.
Another huge thing is the incidence of type 2 diabetes. And so the problem with that, if you don't have enough muscle mass, you can't take glucose up out of the system, out of your bloodstream. And
right.
so you start to run into high blood sugar problems. And then that's a whole cascade of, everything. That can lead to high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, everything.
You told me that one other time, and that's exactly why I looked at – you told me that a few months ago, and that's exactly why we joined the gym right there, because diabetes is so prevalent in my family. And, I'm more – like I said, I'm more thick and just a little bit of a pudgy zone than skinny or thinner or healthier, kind of thing. I just kind of go on the, if you were to draw a line, I'm over on the right instead of the left, maybe, or whatever, or just kind of hanging out in that 20 pounds too heavy zone, and I don't want to be there anymore. I'm just really serious. Even if I hover down in the 10 pounds over zone, that's better than the 20 pounds over zone. And I was really,
right.
I really started to go into the, is it my diet? Is it my exercise? Is it lack of lifting weights? Oh, it's all three. It is. It really was. It was like a little bit too much ice cream, a little bit I've been on kind of a non-sugar kick anyway for the past year, and this is kind of my next phase. But, it was just a little bit of too much of everything and too little of exercise and too little of weights. And I really started to fear when you were talking about that. I don't usually fear much, but I've seen the complications and the horrible things that disease, diabetes, does. And I actually do fear it a little bit because, I've seen my grandfather's toes amputated and horrible.
Yep.
My grandfather died from that. So that's a bad problem once you get it.
Yeah, but it's reversible. It's completely reversible through, diet and exercise. Some people might have to go on meds for a little while, depending on how advanced it is.
Yeah.
But I've even seen people come off medication.
Yeah, my brother is an example of that. My brother got it, and he decided, I'm going to beat this in a different way through proper diet and exercise, and I'm just going to learn about, some of the things I could do to improve this. And he walks and doesn't eat poorly anymore, and, he's completely changed his life. So I love that. But I really love this whole weightlifting thing because women, if anybody's listening out here with us right now and they're a woman and they're at the gym and they're on that treadmill and they're frustrated because a lot of us live in that zone, move on over the weights too. And if you're afraid, if you're looking at, I keep using that fear and afraid word, sorry, but people do look at that stuff and go, well, what am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah, you know what? I would absolutely suggest making a small investment of working with a personal trainer just to teach you the proper form and the different exercises and all of that. Although I will say if I can promote a particular...
Oh, please, yeah, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, okay. I've done P90X for probably the last 3 or 4 years. And
cool.
I don't know familiar with them or not. It's a program you can actually do at home, and you probably only need maybe 10 to 15 pound weights for women.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is all using your own body weight, and his form is fantastic. They have, they're basically like videos, and it's Tony Horton and two other people, and they, they do the whole workout right there while you're doing it. And so you don't even need to join a gym, really. I've seen people make drastic results just by doing that program. But if you are at a gym, I would say make a small investment in working with a trainer so you can learn proper technique and form, because you can hurt yourself if you're not careful with, with using weights. And I'm not a big – the machines are fine. I think they're good for people who are just starting out because they stabilize you. What I mean by a machine is – not the free weights, the machines that you actually like sit in and you have to move the bars and things like that. They're good, but at some point your body will plateau on that, and you're not using core stabilization when you're in a machine. you probably need to move on to free weights at some point after that. So, you know,
but if you're, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, you know, if you're just starting out, you know, a lot of it might seem very intimidating from, you know, mention P90X and you see those commercials and the people are just absolutely ripped. And, I mean, they are, and it's great and everything, but for somebody just starting out, that might seem even just a little bit scary.
Yeah, but you know what's great about him is he actually shows modifications.
Good.
So even if you're, I mean, I have a cousin who's probably, she's easily 150 pounds overweight. And she can do P90X. So I think, you know, pretty much most people could do it. They're not going to do it at the extent that, you know, he does it. But that he always has one of his trainers with him showing modifications to exercises.
Yeah. If you want to start small and make a tiny change in your life, you know, and maybe it's not P90X and maybe it's not a gym or something like that, what's one tiny little thing that you can do exercise-wise every day to start to change?
Boy, I've probably come up with about 50 to try to get my mother to do something.
Uh-huh. Well, you see the problem. You know, a lot of people live in this zone of, you know, it's all so overwhelming, so I'm going to do nothing. And
exactly.
I know, you know, my husband and I really used to sit around like – inconsistent would be my best word to describe it, like, oh, the weather's nice, let's go for a walk. Well, that doesn't get people in shape and get you healthy. It's more of the consistent type of thing.
It is.
And I just got to the point where, you know what, I'm sick of depending on the weather for whether I take a walk or not. Let's go join this gym. And that just one tiny little shift in that different direction, we went for 5 minutes each time for the first week. You know, we were not there for an hour. You know, we were like, okay,
right.
We got to get used to this. We got to get in the routine and everything. And now several months later, we're each there for an hour together, too. It's great together time.
Right.
But, you know, I was just trying to think of what maybe, like, think about your mom or think about your sister or your brother or whatever. And what's one, maybe five little pick one of the five, but maybe five suggestions that people could do to start to change their exercise habits.
Right. Well, one thing that came to mind when you were talking about your husband is to find a partner, find it like a buddy, somebody else. I mean, surely most people could probably find, whether it's, you know, a relative or a friend, someone to do something with, even if it's only once a week. Like my cousin and I, she'll come to my apartment. We have a small gym in the down on the first floor, and we'll just work out on the treadmill together one day a week. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Something for her. You know, she has it's accountability, I guess, is what it is, because she knows she has to meet me.
Ah, that's funny. Yeah, you know, that accountability is really key because, you know, those first couple of weeks we were like, oh, I don't want to go. And I'm like, well, I'm going. You can stay here. Or he'd say to me the next day, I'm going. You can stay here. And there's something about that statement, well, I'm going and you can stay here. It's like, okay, wait a minute. I'll get my stuff and go with you. Or, yeah, you go and I'll catch up with you. But getting that buddy isn't always reliable at first. And so I thought it was very important to go back and really maintain my own sense of this is sort of what I'm going to do regardless of you. And he kind of, it was interesting, he kind of did the same thing. Well, this is what I'm going to do regardless of you. And eventually, after a couple of weeks, we got to the point where, okay, we're going Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 to 10, and this is what we're doing kind of thing. And now, as months have gone by, we go every day. But it's, I think that communication at the onset of having an exercise buddy is so important because if somebody falls down, sometimes you go down with them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
No, that's
you're sitting
true.
On the couch too with the bag of Doritos next to them or whatever.
Right. Right. Yeah. You either one person needs to be super motivated and is going to be there no matter what, or you do need to have some type of I guess I'll call it agreement.
Yeah.
On how the partnership's going to work, for sure.
Yeah. I thought one little tiny thing, too, that people can do would be to just simply start drinking more water. That's
yep.
What are some other things like that? So find a buddy, drink more water. What's something you could do around your house? Could you maybe make a commitment to go up and down your stairs a few times, or what's something that you could actually do in your house? I know in my kitchen, I am very prone to being the leg lift queen. I will put my hands on my counter and start doing like ballet leg lifts in my kitchen all the time. It drives my kids nuts. Can you exercise
yeah.
around the house?
Of course. I mean, there's so many different things that people can do without even realizing it. I think it's just, it's funny. Whenever I'm asked to, give tips or write articles or whatnot, I start thinking about different things that people can do, and then I think about, well, why wouldn't they do them? And then I think, really, it's not that people need more education. It's that people need to change their mindset. I almost see it as more of a psychological component than the
yeah.
fact that they don't know what to do.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it could be kind of – here, let me add to that just a little bit, because I think – as you get older, your oh my gosh, what should I do shifts a little bit, because I know after having four babies, it was kind of like I suddenly came back to being me again in a way, and was like, my body has changed and I'm way older than 25 when I very first started having babies, and I'm different now. What do I do? How do I get back in shape? What are these stretch marks? How do I get rid of the tummy pout? There's a lot of things I think that happen with women where our bodies change and we are left 10, 15 years later going, holy cow, and then you're thrown into menopause and there's another holy cow, and you end up,
right.
50, 55 going, okay, what just happened? And how do I
right.
get back to feeling good?
Right. Yep. So I think, for a lot of people, I think it's maybe having a goal. I'll give you this example of my cousin again. So her weight has fluctuated off and on for years. She's been, I don't think she's ever really been at the weight she would like to be at.
Right.
But she's been within 20 pounds of that or so. And she's also been 150 pounds overweight.
No,
so,
that's not
me.
That's me pregnant.
No, that's not you.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we've talked about to try and help her. And she finally, has come to the realization that really what she has is a food addiction. And it's not, no amount of exercise is going to be able to compensate for someone who has a situation like that.
Yeah.
She has to figure out why she's using food, as a therapy, essentially, and what can she do to replace that. And the exercise and all of that is kind of, on the side.
Yeah, I that was the second component I was going to say that you mentioned that we didn't talk about, was the mindset part of it. And that is, I couldn't agree with you more. There, a year ago, for example, when I decided, okay, I'm not going to eat sugar like this anymore, this is bad news, because I really was dipping my whole head in the chocolate chip bag, just downing them. And I'm like, okay, this is bad stuff. And no real clear explanation as to why, in my
right.
head anyway. It's like, well, why do I do that? And, I don't know that there's still a clear why, other than I just kind of changed my mindset to say, I'm going to care about me. I'm going to love me, and I'm going to have some compassion for me, and I'm going to feel worthy for me. And I want to live, I want to live as long as I can. I have four kids here, to start to care about yourself enough to put down the chocolate chips.
Right.
Is that part of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, anytime you're looking outside yourself for something to fulfill you, I think it's because there's some piece of you that's not complete or missing, or that you're not happy about or you don't like. So
could some of it just be a bad habit? Or are there always reasons for habits?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on the degree to which we're talking about. I mean, for her, certainly it's more than a bad habit. You know, if you're talking about 15 or 20 pounds that you don't like on yourself, that's one thing. But 150 pounds, that to me is more than a habit. You know, that's...
You got something going on.
She definitely, yeah. So,
and what, so how, you know, my sister was that way, and she just had the gastric bypass, and she looks fabulous. Oh my gosh, she looks fabulous. She has lost over, I think, over 120 pounds.
Yep.
Wild. But yeah, I always think with that surgery, that doesn't cure the craving to eat chocolate or
that's
ice cream. Or it doesn't solve the food issue.
It doesn't. It's really just part of the equation. And I actually did counseling for a lot of gastric bypass patients many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I came in as a nutritionist, and one of the things that I had to do was determine for their eligibility for insurance to pay for the surgery, whether or not they had really exhausted every possible means of dieting, you know, or losing weight through eating and exercise. And there were a lot of people that I did not sign off on because they basically, you know, basically what they were telling me was, well, you know, I've tried a couple of things, nothing's worked. I've tried it for, you know, you could tell, like, there was no, if you're trying to lose 100 pounds, it's not going to take 3 months. It might take you a year or more.
Or two,
I mean,
or
really.
Whatever, yeah. I love that Subway commercial with Jared. You see that? They're celebrating him with his 15 year. I love that. Good for him.
Well, hey, he's got motivation, though. He's a spokesperson. He better maintain his.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it, too. You know, we haven't even. It's funny how, as we talk about, we got in an exercise kick here, which is good because it helps people, especially this time of year when people have dropped their New Year's resolutions and are sitting there going, oh, okay, I joined the gym, but I've never gone or whatever. And, you know, it's really helpful. But, you know, you just touched on a great word, which is motivation. I mean, what is the motivation to want to change your lifestyle to eat healthier and exercise and choose wellness?
Well, that's the thing. You have to have a really strong reason why. I mean, I think a lot of these people that make New Year's resolutions that they're going to lose weight or they're going to join a gym or whatever, they're doing it because they think they should do it, or because their doctor told them they have to do it, or who knows, you know, maybe their spouse isn't happy with them or whatever. But I don't really think that intrinsically it's coming from them. The pain is not enough for them to make a change.
And, you know, that's the unfortunate thing, too, because a lot of people wait till they get into some life or death or some horrid pain or some disease or something like that, and then they go, I guess I better do something about it now. How do you get people to back up and do something about it now anyway?
Yeah. If I could answer that question, I'd be a multi-millionaire.
No, it's wild, isn't it? Yeah, it's just like, it's almost like choosing love for yourself and choosing wellness and choosing, I don't know, it's been a process for me, too, because I'm just so tired of hovering in the 10, it really is 10 to 20-pound zone, but never in the size 6 zone that I normally reside at, and has gone on for too long now. You know, 5 years have passed, and I've kept 10 or 20 pounds on me, and I'm just like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done, because half of my closet is a 6 and half of it's a 10. And I'm like, I'm going over to the size 6 side, just not feeling
right.
And it's coming from just, for me, it's not about clothes or shoes or anything like that. It's just choosing wellness. Just don't feel as, I was not feeling well. I feel so much better now.
The pain for you was greater in terms of not feeling well to then the pain of having to start an exercise program and having to eat healthier. You know, I think a lot of people think that exercising and eating better has to be an unpleasant experience. And, you know, that's the problem for probably a good percentage of the population. They just, they haven't figured out a way to make those two things pleasant.
Well, an unpleasant experience is in the hospital with a stroke because of diabetes, or an unpleasant experience is the fallout from not having done these things. I mean,
but
I've
you're
seen
not thinking some, that unless you have.
I've seen some seriously unpleasant experiences as the result of bad eating and exercise, and it usually later on in life ends up in some, you know, sad disease.
Right, right. But nobody thinks that way. It's not going to happen to me. Come on. Right?
Yeah. No, of course not. You know, I'm going to live forever, don't you know?
Yeah.
Healthy, too.
But, so, you know, I mean, there's so many ways to do, to you know, to move your body that could be fun. I mean, you could take dance classes. You could, you know, even yoga or going out and doing something in nature, depending on where you live. I mean, there's so many. You don't have to go to the gym and get on a treadmill for 45 minutes and, you know, bore yourself to death.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know where Katie is today, but Katie went skiing over the weekend, and she just had a completely renewed sense of herself. She was like, oh, my God, you know, I was scared to go there. You know, I'm 50. I didn't know if I could still ski. And she sent me this video of her, like, cruising down the mountain at, like, warp speed. I'm like, go, Katie. That was so cute. But, you know, that's, and, you know, she said, and that's health. You know, that's a great way for me to get healthy because I'm not so bored sitting on the treadmill or whatever. And see, for me, treadmills don't bore me. Like, I love that elliptical. I just totally crank the music. That's what makes me, I love music. So if I have an hour of uninterrupted music time, no matter where it is, I'll sit on the treadmill for that. It's awesome because I just jam the whole time. The only thing I hope I don't do is sing out loud by mistake in the gym. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and not everybody hates the treadmill, sure, but, you know, I think more often than not, I've had more people tell me they just hate to exercise no matter what it is than not, unfortunately. But I think it's because they feel confined into having to do a certain thing.
Sure.
And
yeah, I completely
there's so many
it.
Things out there now that, you know, so many different classes and programs and whatnot. You should, God, everybody should be able to find one thing they like.
Yeah, I'm such a creature of consistency that I've noticed that in my exercise. I almost go like into being a former athlete. My goal is to be an athlete again. And the only way I know how to do that is just that consistency and discipline and really kind of almost buckling down to go into athletic training mode. That's what I feel like I'm in now. Because, I mean, I was up to 12 miles today on that elliptical and within no time. And I was just cranking it out. And I just love it. So, and that'll translate when the weather softens to being on my bike again or whatever, walking longer, whatever. That just, you know, if I don't work out during the wintertime, by the time I get to the summer, you spend all summer trying to get
back
healthy, and then winter's here again. It's frustrating. So I've decided to change it up this year and get healthy during the winter and see how that goes.
Or I think we should just move to California. Come on.
Well, that would be easier, too, if we could just pick up all the kids out of my graduating senior and just get back in that nice weather. Yep. It'd be wonderful. I love California for its weather and everything. It's fun. So, well, that was an interesting conversation about exercise. If I was quiet for a minute, would you add anything to it? Anything final there before we go on?
You know, I guess just to sort of reiterate the fact that people need to find things that they like to do, not even just exercise, but also with eating healthy, that it doesn't have to be an unpleasant experience. Like, a rule that I have lived by for I don't know how long is basically the 90-10 rule or the 80-20 rule, and that means that I eat really clean and really healthy for 80% of the week, and 20% of the week I can do whatever I want. And that has, now, I'm not saying if you have to lose a good amount of weight that will work for you. You probably might need to be a little bit stricter, at least at first. But for the average person, who even is just trying to lose 10 or 20 pounds, that certainly can work. And that way, I think people don't feel so restricted, like, oh, I can't have any of the things that I like because I'm on this diet or I'm on this program.
All right. Well, I'm glad we had that conversation because I really think that conversation about wellness and health and exercise and food choices and things like that really needed to be had before we talked about what we're going to talk about next, which is drama and emotions and managing our thoughts and things like that, because and we could have had this conversation first, but I like the exercise conversation first because a lot of the reasons why we don't do things we don't exercise, we don't eat healthy, we don't, or the reasons why we do things, like we do eat that pizza or we do not go to the gym, are because
right.
of our drama and thought process and our emotions. Where do we want to go with this? Because this is a whole nother call too, and I thought we needed to talk, you know, because you and I are going to have a series of ongoing calls, and I really wanted to get that exercise part out first.
Sure.
But what are
well, it relates to everything, you know? I mean,
it really does.
I write more about drama in relation to relationships. But really, it comes into every aspect of your life. I mean, obviously, you can have drama around your health, around your job or your career, you know, around so many different things. So,
what is drama?
Yeah,
what's your definition of drama? Because let's get on the same page with what maybe an easy definition of drama is.
Right. So I guess in a nutshell for me, it's getting caught up in negative thought processes. So, you know, like, and it can also, of course, mean in relationship with other people, but also in relationship with just yourself.
You and know, negative having, thought process would be like anxiety, worry, that type of thing?
Negative self-talk, like, you know, oh, I'll never lose weight. I'm always going to be this way. I'm not happy with myself. I don't like the way I look. But, of course, also, yeah, anxiety, worry, depression, all of it.
Okay. So drama is just sort of a loose term for how do you dump the negative thoughts?
Right. And also, I think it's when things escalate, into, you know, for example, in relationship with another person, you know, you get into a fight with your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever, and when things escalate to the point where you're screaming at each other, I mean, that to me is drama. So you have a problem, you can't communicate in a calm, you know, effective, efficient manner. Both people are just flying off the cuff and things get said that weren't meant to be said, and you both get caught up in your own head thinking that, you know, you're right, the other person's wrong, and this is the way it should be, and why aren't they doing this or that?
See, now I think my definition of drama might be slightly different. My definition of drama is basically anything that's not peace, anything that's not peaceful. In other words, I pretty much exist in a really peaceful state. I kind of know my baseline of peace, my mellow zone, and kind of where I operate from. And I know when somebody impacts me that has drama. And it can be very difficult because I'm usually not the cause of drama. I usually don't go spewing drama or negative out into the world. I try to really seriously have a line of peace drawn. I mean, I just kind of know where I exist. And it becomes very easy for me to see when somebody disrupts that zone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that?
Me too.
I know you.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly. I mean, almost to the point of the person doesn't even have to say anything. It's almost like an intuitive that I get about their energy or their body language. Yeah. I wouldn't say we have different definitions of drama. I think there are naturally just different levels of it, maybe.
Sure. Oh, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, different levels of drama. So, you know, if you think about yourself and you know what kind of makes you pretty peaceful. You know, I'm pretty peaceful. I can sit on the couch, read a book, sit with the cat, sit with the kids, sit with my husband. You know, and I know when I'm not agitated. I know when I'm not angry. I know when I don't feel bugged, bothered, anxiety, worrying. You know, you know when somebody rocks your boat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
And you can do it to yourself, too. But.
Yeah. So let's ask you this. I just use those words intentionally because you're the rower of your own boat. How do you not let someone rock it?
years of practice. No.
Isn't it?
And I'll say this, I don't think I've fully accomplished it either. I mean, you know, certainly there are times where I may not let it show on the outside to that person or other people, but on the inside, I'm struggling with, you know, wanting to say something or thinking something that I, you know, if I step back, I really, you know, that's not really where I want to be or who I want to be, I guess is really the way to put it.
Right.
I guess I could give you a couple different scenarios. I mean, in one scenario where it's just brought on by myself, you know, for example, if a couple of years ago we had, my ex-husband and I had rescued a greyhound. And we had her for about 5 years, and she passed away a couple of years ago. But prior to that, maybe about 6 months, she went through this spell of vertigo. And actually, they don't really know what causes it or how a dog gets it. She was older, like 11 or 12. And it just sort of comes on. And we didn't know what was wrong with her. I mean, she just stood up, and she was like, she looked like she was drunk. Literally, like she, you know, we'd just given her a shot of whiskey or something. She was like staggering sideways all over the place, and her eyes were like twitching, and I was just freaking out. And so, you know, we called the vet, and of course we took her, and he takes a look at her and says, oh, she's got blah, 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 vertigo. It's vertigo for dogs. You know, here, give her this medication, she'll be fine. But, you know, one thing he said was some dogs never recover from this. They're never the same. And, so for the next couple of days, all I thought about was, oh, my God, you know, like, what if something happens to her? What if she's never the same? Blah, blah, blah. Finally, I'm like, what are you doing? Okay, just sit down.
Your boat's going down. Your boat's flooding.
Quiet
at that
the
point.
Mind. Yeah, yeah. Exactly, because I'm not doing anything for her in terms of the kind of energy that I was sending out. You know, whether or not animals can perceive that, I mean, I believe they do, but, you know, everybody may not. But certainly I was not helping her. And I'm not helping myself because all I'm doing is freaking out about this. So
right.
One thing that I've always done when I get into that state is I just basically, you know, sit in my meditation chair and do whatever I can to just silence it. And
yeah, to kind of be in the now. Probably that has a lot to do with being in the present moment instead of worrying about the future or what's going to happen. Because, you know, boy, if I got that in truckloads right now with a boy graduating from high school,
right.
You know, and I have to catch myself going, oh my gosh, where is he going to go to college? Is he going to go far away? What are we going to do? If he goes far away, how are we going to see him? You know, I could go on and on with the questions that pour through my mind. And you have to go, okay, let's just apply for college first. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Let's just get there. You know, and it's very funny what we do to ourselves, but that, it's almost like never-ending questions.
Right.
Like a
exactly.
series of questions that spew out of control. And sometimes that's a really helpful way to look at things. Like I saw this, I don't know, it was a commercial, but it was like there are some people who can just see things the way they are now, and there are some people who can see the way they want them to be. So sometimes some of that's productive. I really do truly believe a little bit of worry or anxiety, it sometimes can be sometimes productive if used in the right way.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And there's studies that show that a certain amount of stress is actually beneficial. It makes people more productive and more motivated. But, you know, over that and under it are not good places to be. So
sure. Yeah, no. Yeah. But I love that because so many people, you know, you're talking about your dog and whose dog isn't just so important to them, or cat or kids or whatever. I mean, those are just precious things to us. And we worry. I mean, you do worry.
Yep.
Is my dog going to be okay? Was your dog okay? I'm just curious. Is your dog
okay?
You
know, we had to put her down maybe 6 or 8 months after that, but it was because her hips were failing and whatnot. But, I wouldn't say she made 100% recovery. There were a couple of things that she was just a little off on. And
you know,
I'm not
how
sure.
You can't control it either.
That's the whole thing. Yeah, and that's what I think the issue is for everybody, and why you get so much in your head is you're trying to control the situation.
Yeah, I think that's it for a lot of us, yeah. And, you know, like one of the things we've done this past year is we, from me talking to you over the past year, is we've been thinking about moving and things like that and finding jobs and, you know, all that stuff. And my husband found a wonderful, wonderful job that allowed us to stay here. And there were a lot of questions going through my mind. You know, I called you. I'm like, "What's Connecticut like? What's you know?" There were a lot of questions, and you know, I just sort of decided that you know, this is partially controllable, perhaps largely not in a way, and we're going to probably go where a job takes us. And we're going to be happy about that. Is everybody together? Is everybody healthy? Is everybody going to be okay? You know, but moving is crazy. The thought of it even is crazy after you've been somewhere for 9 or 10 years.
Right, right.
It's hard.
I think if you can look at change as always having something positive about it, that you're much better
equipped that.
To deal with it. Because the fact, I mean, I'll tell you what happened after that. So we had to put her down. And then my husband and I were, well, we were already going through a separation and we did it. We obviously did it amicably because we still work together. But after that happened, within the next couple of months, I decided that I was going to look for my own place. I found this amazing apartment in West Hartford Center. Beautiful, walking distance to all of the shops and restaurants, and I've always wanted to live, you know, I wouldn't call West Hartford a city by any means, but it's sort of a pseudo. Sort of makes you feel like a little bit like you're in, you know, a little bit of hustle and bustle. And the apartment was amazing. It was completely furnished. I didn't have to uproot him from the house we were in, take any of the furniture or whatever. However, they did not allow pets. So I would not have been able to bring her. So one way I look at it is, well, I mean, if she was still here, I wouldn't, you know, I would never get to see her. I mean, I would, going back and forth, because I, you know, we do a lot of work together at his place for the magazine, but it would be infrequent, and then he would have sole responsibility. And so, you know, I think with every change, something good happens.
You know, I always agree with that, too. I completely agree with you, even out of sickness, even out of, I mean, There are so many positives that come from dark and so much light that comes from dark and so forth. And I can't tell you how really I've moved. I think about moving moving is such a brave thing sometimes. It just really is. As you can, I can hear in your move too. It was a brave move and it can be moving to the house next door, moving to the house down the street, across the city or across the country. Moving is stressful. And divorces too, by the way. I've been through one of those as well. I hear you. But your whole voice changed right there. Did you hear yourself? Like you're so proud, and I know you are, of your place where you live. You love it. You love the city. You love
absolutely.
The place. Your whole voice went. Your whole inflection went up. It was cool as you were talking. It's like I love this. It's neat.
Yep.
And so out of two kind of sad things, a divorce and your dog being put down, there's light. And look
right.
at all the amazing things that you've done since, too, with the magazine going to Boston and you know all these things. And way to be there with handling the change of a divorce brilliantly, too. Because some people, that's a big source of drama.
I know.
Talk about drama.
Oh,
my God.
Yep. I know, but, you know. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's just mindset. I mean, if you can really step back and think, like, why am I feeling this way? And does this make me feel good or does it make me feel bad? And if it makes me feel bad, why am I thinking it? Why am I doing it?
Sure. Now, for anybody listening live, we're going to cut off here in about 90 seconds, but we're going to probably run like 5 to 10 minutes long because we still have some things to talk about and I want to just close the show up properly and so forth. So you can go to blogtalkradio.com/besteveryou and listen to the end of the show, or you can go over to naturalnutmeg.com and we'll probably post the show up there and we'll do some blogs and things like that. So there'll be plenty of links to the show and so you can hear the end. But so we were talking about drama with divorce and things like that and mindset and we've been talking about exercise, we've been talking about moving, we've been talking about, but all related to change, positive change, and eliminating as much potential drama in our lives as possible. correct?
That's right. I think we've hit all the gamuts, too. My gosh.
I think we did. It's been a great phone call. It's been a great life coaching call, too, because let's talk about what stress and drama do physically to us.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I think people are becoming more and more aware of it because there's a lot of research coming out now on the effects of stress and really how it's almost the basis of all diseases. And it can affect, to me, everything runs into everything else. So, if you, as a life coach, we're taught that we have this wheel, essentially, and on that wheel is, your health section, your relationship section, your career section, your spirituality, your, fun or passions and whatnot. And, you rate yourself in each of these areas. And if any area is really, really low, it tends to, flow over into your other areas. So if you're not happy with your body, that'll affect your relationship. It might affect your job. It might affect what you do for, fun or not. So, it's really important, I think, to see how, number one, how all those things interact or understand how parts of your life, they're not separate compartments. They all overlap and interact with each other. And, if you're stressed out in one area or really unhappy in one area, it's going to filter through to other areas of your life.
Oh, I completely so totally agree with that. It's wild. It's wild how it's almost like a little, I hesitate to say it's like a balancing or a juggling
yep.
act without really knowing it unless you're conscious of it. Because,
right.
For example, if you're monetarily out of spinning out of control and have debt up to your tops of your ears and whatever, it's really hard to be like, oh yeah, well, let's go out to eat and let's go on a vacation and let's enjoy ourselves.
Right. It's going to affect every other part of your life for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Or if you, I'm just trying to think, how do you balance it? Do you think something's always
out of whack?
I was going to say out of whack.
No.
I don't know how professional that is, but that's exactly,
right, exactly.
In my sentence. But do you think something always, it seems to me like as people, on maybe even a daily basis, everything changes all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it just does. And so, and it doesn't seem to me like you can be perfect all the time and still living,
Yeah, and by no means is it a matter of being perfect. If you rank 10 in all of those areas, then you might as well just check out right now. Because
I want to interview the person. Is it 10 in all those areas?
I have nowhere to improve, so I guess I'm done with this life.
Yeah, exactly. Sign me up to be God. Whatever.
Yeah, it's the level. I guess what I mean is, okay, so let's say you're ranking yourself maybe a 7 here, an 8 there, maybe a 9 in one of the categories, and then maybe you have one category where you're like, oh, I'm a 2. Now, that's where I think there's a real problem, because you obviously see such a deficit or a lack in this one area.
I'm laughing because the people who lie on those tests.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. But that's not going to benefit you.
You're honest with yourself.
Right. But most people, I would think, are probably hovering somewhere in the 6 to 8 range I'll say most healthy, conscious, well-adapted people are not going to be in that position unless something drastic just happened to them,
And when something, and it's a really important, I don't know if anybody can visualize kind of what we're talking about, but it's part of Percolate as well, it's just different parts of your life, and it's on besteveryou.com and Create Your Best Life, the different areas of your life and sort of take an inventory of how you're doing in each of those areas. It could be something like attitude and inspiration, like what's on Best Ever You, or your health, or your nutrition, or your food, or your career or your relationships or whatever. I'm rattling them off that are on Best Ever You, and really taking stock and taking hold of what's going on in your life in those areas. And if something is, what do you think, below of? If you ranked it from a 1 to 10 and you're hovering in 5 or below, maybe there's something different that you can do
right
to change. perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously the first thing is just to be aware of that. Like you said, you know, are people even conscious of it?
Right.
I mean, I've had so many of my friends who are business coaches. They'll have a person come to them for business coaching, or even if they're, you know, an executive coaching. And it turns out that really what the problem is their relationship, their marriage. And it's
or their health or
like,
whatever.
You know, I'm really not a business coach. I'm really a marriage counselor. Like, what are you talking about? I said, because it's never the business that's the problem.
That's funny.
It's
something
else that's going on. Yeah, but
we could be masters
say,
in one area and fall down in another, need help in another, and really never know it until something's breaking or whatever. That's what we were talking about earlier, and never be aware of it or conscious of it until it breaks, and then sometimes it's too late. You just don't know, depending on what area of your life it is. So, really interesting. I would. I have to go because I have to take my husband to the airport, but I would love to keep having these conversations with you.
Absolutely.
I love it because they're just true conversations about just health and well-being and just, you know, getting people to sort of just stop and think.
Right.
And that's,
yep, for sure.
Yeah, just stop and think. And hopefully we've helped you today. That's what I love about Natural Nutmeg Magazine. I love all the articles in your magazine. So lovely, lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Diane, for being with us. We're running out of time. And I think, are we going to do this probably monthly? Is that what we decided?
Yeah, I would love to. It's been awesome.
Okay.
That's for sure.
All right, cool. All right, well, on that note, I will mention that you are now on Twitter. Welcome to the best ever you, best people we know, Deb Scott. Deb Scott's the best people we know. Twitter land, because we have such a great community on Twitter. Best ever you now has over 130,000 people following us on Twitter. So
wow.
Welcome, Natural Nutmeg. You're at Natural Nutmeg on Twitter, and you're on Facebook, and then naturalnutmeg.com. But I can't wait for you to be on Twitter with us. Because that's fun. There are so many cool people you will meet on Twitter. It's so much fun. So I invite you to join me for a Twitter lesson, Diane.
Okay, for sure.
I would love to teach you Twitter because you were saying you're just sort of learning it and stuff. So very easy. It's almost like just having a cell phone in your hand and just kind of texting back and forth, only you're actually tweeting. And
right.
Instead
well,
of the phone number,
that.
It's just a name. Yeah, it's easy. It's fun. So
yep.
If you're addicted to texting, you'll be addicted to Twittering. It's pretty fun. So at Natural Nutmeg, everybody, please follow Diane at Natural Nutmeg on Twitter, Facebook, and visit naturalnutmeg.com. And we'll see you next month around this time. And thank you. And just one final question. Are you actually tan from being in Florida?
Oh, God, yes, I am, actually.
Oh, I'm teasing you. All right, well, I'm glad you
had
fun.
I had to get some real vitamin D.
Exactly, I know. I hear you. All right, lots of love. Thank you for being with me for the hour plus, and thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Bye, Diane.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.